Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I have some news to read to you. The Associated Press, November 1st, 2010, Baghdad. Iraq's dwindling Christian community was grieving and afraid on Monday after militants seized a Baghdad church during evening mass, held the congregation hostage, and triggered a raid by Iraqi security forces. The bloodbath left at least 52 people killed and 67 wounded, nearly everyone inside. Outside Our Lady of Deliverance Church, a Syrian Catholic church, a man leaned against the car carrying his cousin's coffin, waiting for the police to let him in to bury him on church grounds. "It was a massacre in there," he said Monday morning. "We Christians don't have enough protection." A cryptically worded statement posted late Sunday on a militant website, allegedly by the Islamic State of Iraq, appeared to claim responsibility for the attack. The group, which is linked to Al-Qaeda in Iraq, said it would, quote, "exterminate Iraqi Christians," unquote, if two specific women in Egypt were not freed. In their message Sunday, the militants called on the Vatican, which held a meeting last month to discuss the fate of Christians in the Middle East, to release the women. Quote, "We direct our speech to the Vatican and say that as you met with Christians of the Mideast a few days ago to support them and back them, now you have to pressure them to release our sisters. Otherwise, death will reach all of you," it said. Why do I quote a 6-year-old news article on this last day of the church year? Because what we do here, why we gather each week of the church year here, is important. It is about religion. That is, what you believe about God to be true. That will be reflected by how you act each day and in each circumstance. Christians are told in this report the Al-Qaeda promise that death will visit them unless Al-Qaeda's demands are met. Do the extremists not realize that we don't fear death? Do you realize that you don't fear death? What did we just sing in the first verse of the hymn? "So when my Savior pleases, I meet death willing." The threat of death is nothing as compared with the threat of apostasy, which is the turning away from God and His promises, and thereby a means to deny our religion. God said in the Old Testament lesson today, "And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not." Those who do not serve God, who are apostate, do not have God's promises for themselves. His promise of life, that is what we trust in. No human promise or threat of death can turn us from believing in God's promise of life and redemption that's ours in Jesus Christ. Like I said last week, that Sunday will be a memorable one. But again, what makes it memorable are Jesus' words. Say them with me. "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." That is still true this week. His words of hope, His words of promise, like He made today to the thief on the cross, those words of Jesus remain. Say these words also. "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It is openly and publicly holding to the hope that we find in these words of Jesus, which has brought persecution and hardship to the Coptic Christians in Egypt, to the Syrian Catholic Christians in Iraq and Syria, and to most all Christians everywhere in the Middle East. Such things like this should give us pause when we struggle with our choices and our daily circumstances that we find ourselves in. The realities they are going through give us some perspective on our troubles when we have these brothers and sisters literally under fire for the faith we share with them in the words of Jesus Christ. Do they fear death? Well, certainly. Certainly they fear the dying process, as we all do, since we all know our own mortality. In the narrow sense, it is healthy to fear death. No one welcomes the pain or the suffering that comes with it, especially when it takes the form of terrorism. By its very nature, by its very name, terrorism is to be feared. But in the wide sense, no. In the wide sense, no. We Christians do not fear death for death's sake. And that is where the terrorists get it wrong. In their fear of the annihilation of their religion, they believe that we also fear annihilation. But we have the words of Jesus from last week and this week, words which remove that fear from us. In his words to the thief on the cross this week, Jesus speaks the words that promise us hope. Those words of Jesus assure the thief and us that we will be with Jesus where? In paradise. In paradise. Jesus is the heart of paradise. He's the content of paradise for us because he is the resurrection and the life. And the promise of God is that all who believe in Jesus will never perish but have eternal life. Paradise is about religion. We do not perish as those who have chosen apostasy. Apostasy, the turning away from the words of Jesus. The posture of the Christian is hope, not realization. So said a preacher friend of mine. The posture of the Christian is hope, not realization. We don't expect to see the realization of paradise in our earthly life. Our posture of hope is in the words of Jesus alone. In them, it's in them that we have life, not death. The words of Christ are life. They're words of life, of the truth that paradise is being in the presence of Jesus in heaven. I can say that because we trust in the God who made the promise in the epistle lesson today in Colossians. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Can we say that promise of peace through the blood of Jesus applies to those who are persecuted in Egypt and Syria and Iraq? Yes, of course. But that doesn't mean persecution is easy for them to bear. I want to read now the rest of that article, the news article. It says, on Monday, Iraqi authorities took extra measures to protect Christian neighborhoods and churches in Mosul, Kirkuk, and Baghdad. This is more than a tragedy, said Iraq's human rights minister, Wijdan Mikhail, who is a Christian. Choking back tears as she spoke with reporters outside Our Lady of Deliverance Church, she said, what is happening to Iraqis in general, and Christians in particular, is an attempt to push them out of the country. Karim Khalil, a 49-year-old Iraqi Christian, said he moved to Syria with his family last year because he felt his religion made him a target in Baghdad. Iraqi militias threatened me, saying I was on the side of the Americans because I am Christian, Karim told the AP. They said I would be killed if I stayed in Iraq. Now he lives in Damascus with his wife and five children. I have left behind my house and everything to escape with my family, he said. Many other Iraqi Christians living in Syria refused to speak to the press. They said they fear militias may exact revenge on their families in Iraq. Their persecution is part of our world also. It impacts us because we are fellow believers with them by the words of Jesus. We can learn from them. We can learn from them to persevere. We can gain a sense of hope and even gratitude by praying for God's care for his loved ones in the Middle East. We can support them by remaining faithful to the words of Christ that give all of us a hope and a future. That future is secure and safe with Jesus because he went willingly and died on the cross, and he died the death of a thief. And that's because Jesus also is a thief. He came to rob Satan of his power over people, to bind them under sin and to beat upon them with the law. Jesus is a thief after all. He came to steal away the hearts that Satan had bound under the penalty of sin, which is death. That's why Jesus had to die between two thieves. He is the thief that steals away every heart who trusts in his word as we do. That word is what we gather together each Sunday and Wednesday in Bible study days to hear and to be refreshed in. We believe that his word alone saves us. We believe that in him alone is hope and life. And because of him and his words, our religion directs how we act according to his promise, not according to any pressures that we face. And though, as I said with the kids, this is the last day of the church year, and next week we begin anew with Advent and looking forward to Jesus' second coming, we remember this day, that no matter what comes our way, no matter what trials or struggles or persecutions are faced by Jesus' followers, through it all will remain the words of Jesus, which promise, as he said to his fellow thief on the cross, that we will be with him in paradise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.